Amen. Well, I found the service a blessing so far this evening. Wonderful to sing the hymns, sing God's praises, be blessed by the ministry in song. I tell you what, God gives us some quality music to sing, and we ought to never trade good, godly, spirit-filled music for the worldly trash that comes under the title of Christian out there. So praise God for that. So this morning, we were looking at the life of Lot and lessons from the life of Lot. And many things we can learn from these Old Testament examples of those who have gone before us. And sadly, when we look at Lot's life, we really see a series of failings. We see his end, which is a very sad one. But we can learn from these things. And Lot didn't lose his salvation. Once you're saved, you can't lose it. But he lost a lot of other things. And we need to learn from this man and not make some of the mistakes that he did. And by God's grace, keep on with the Christian life and not become a failure. We don't have to be, which is good. So much do a small I'll just go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll do a small recap and then into the remainder of the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to look into your word now. And we would say, as it says in the hymn, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So, Father, it'd be foolish to try to manufacture something in the flesh this night. But, Lord God, we do need the Holy Spirit to have his perfect will and way to guard and guide my lips, as it were, to give me the utterance and the unction, and that, Lord, you'd empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We want it to be all of you tonight and none of the flesh. We do pray for the hearers, Lord, that you would work in hearts and lives here. Lord, perhaps unseen strongholds in lives, barricades, Lord, we just pray you break those things down and that you work in every heart. I pray just give us a blessed time. May we know the presence of your Holy Spirit working within us. Know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and may we be revived and refreshed full of your joy this night. We ask for your workings, Lord. We may be sobered at some times as we look into this message, but Lord, help us not to forget, but Lord, I pray that we would learn whatever it is you want us to learn this night. Thank you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So we look to you, Lord God, for tonight, and thank you that we can look to you for the remainder of our lives, Lord God, for your enabling, your empowering, your grace. So have your will and way, blessed Lord, for you and for your glory, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we looked at the life of Lot and some of it this morning, and in the introduction we say, beware of unbiblical change, and sometimes a bad situation where someone will end up, a place of spiritual destruction, a demise, a failing can come about as a result of perhaps perceivingly smaller failures ahead of time. A small change or small changes in direction which took you to a very different destination. Perhaps somewhere that you never dreamt that you would be. And it is so much like that, perhaps so many Christians even today, living today in a place that they never would have once dreamt of. But now, it's their lot. It's where they are. And where they live, move and breathe, and in a place which is not pleasing to our Lord, a place which is a bad testimony, a place which is of great damage to them, to their family, and to those around them. So we looked at the life of Lot and Lot's devotion, how he lost loved ones early in his life, but how that although we don't have any evidence from Scripture that caused him to fail of the grace of God later on, doesn't say anything like that, but we can at least remember that the presence of suffering in our lives, of difficulty, of strain and of stress, does not mean we have to fall aside, does not mean that we have to fail the grace of God. And the Joseph in the Bible is a wonderful testimony of that truth. Also, the matter of how Lot, although he was with Abraham physically in the same location, It wouldn't be pushing things to say, I don't believe that he was in the same places as Abraham was spiritually. Hence why he would make the decision that he made. Be careful that you are not simply carried along by those who are around you, along for the ride, but not have a vibrant relationship with Christ. Also, we see the Lot's departure and his desire in the departure, where in the decision that he made, it seems that all he had was carnal motivation, that of simply financial well-being, of greater wealth at the expense of his spiritual life. And we spoke about the local church and the importance of being a part of the local church, not allowing money to govern your decisions, and to not let work take you out of church, okay, unless it be an essential service, but to be in the house of God and to make Sunday a priority, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And for those of you who are here on Sunday morning and you came back Sunday night, God bless you for that. Praise God. Okay, so his desire, and to beware of tailor-made temptations, okay, one that is just the temptation for you to drag you down, whatever it would be. And also the matter of decisions, making that decision on account of a carnal thing such as finances rather than a spiritual decision, and how a decision can take you, one decision, how it can impact you in ways you could not perhaps even begin to think of or imagine to begin with. Also, the direction in the direction that Lot took, a new direction. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and so many people do that. They take a new direction in life. And they say they're not necessarily thinking it's going to be any great problem. They might actually think this is going to be a better direction than what I've been going in before, only for it to become apparent years down the track, if not in eternity, the ramifications of choosing a direction. Take a slight change in direction now, you can be in a totally different place, a very, very different place in the long run, in the long term. So we're going to take on today from point three, Lot's destination. Genesis 13, please. Genesis 13. And back to this parting between Abraham and Lot. From verse 12 to verse 13 of Genesis chapter 13 says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot's destination, firstly we see that it is a destination of depravity. And we see here that the Spirit of God, as he here in this passage, shows us that this is not a good option, that it is not a good place that Lot has decided to go to, because it says, and pitched his tent towards Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you notice that Lot, when he was with Abraham, he thought that he had difficulties there. Perhaps he thought he was in a bad place. This isn't a good place for me to be in. I haven't got what I need for my stock. I've got trouble between my herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, and this is a bad place for me to be. And he chooses another place. But notice he ends up in a far worse place. Oh, a better place as far as finances go. A more prosperous place financially, but a far, far worse place spiritually. He thought he had problems, but there are far worse problems here in Sodom. And so, Lot, what were you thinking? Lot, were you considering your own spiritual well-being when you made this move? Lot, did you think of your family when you made this move? Yes, the grass was greener in the valley, but it was not greener spiritually. A place more prosperous financially, but not spiritually. And it affected him. So what does it really affect people when they go in that sort of a direction? Is it really affecting someone when they decide that they're not going to be so faithful in their church? Does it really affect someone when they go and they work on a Sunday and they're not in the Lord's house? Does it really affect someone if they go to a bit more of a user-friendly church? Does it really affect someone if they become friends with people of the world and, you know, and hang around those people and spend time with those people, making their close and intimate friends? Yeah, it does. Oh yeah, it does. It makes a difference. 2 Peter 2, 7-8 says, speaking of Lot, says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them," talking about the Sodomites, "in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Vexed his soul. The things he saw, the things he heard. Oh, his pockets, they were far better off. But the vexation of his spirit being amongst those people. Oh, he might have had some conflicts there with Abram's herdsmen. But at least his soul wasn't vexed in this way. Lot, have you thought about your family? You know, I'm sure a lot of you here have seen it sometimes, where perhaps a parent or parents, and they take their children away from a vibrant church or from a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church. And I don't know, for me, one of the big things for me is the young people, the children, the teenagers. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And it's often the case. You see something happens with the parents, and for me anyway, the big concern for me, it's a concern, obviously a concern for them, but the young ones. What it is going to do to the family, to the children, to the teenagers. It is just awful. Whilst Lot's there thinking about prosperity, there his wife and his daughters are soaking and stewing in Sodom. And we see later on that Sodom soaks into them and changes them. You know, the cost not only to yourself but to others in choosing a bad destination. Let's talk for a moment about associations, those that we would make our close friends. Hebrews 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And you know, there Lot is living amongst the Sodomites, seeing their wickedness, hearing their evil things that they say. Have you ever been vexed by what people say? No, in the military, sometimes some of the things you would hear, and it was just vile, or something you'd hear on the work site, and it's just so wicked, so evil. And Lot heard their vile speech. He saw their idleness. He saw their ungodliness. He saw the sodomy, the depravity, the wickedness, the immorality. He saw that, and it vexed him. Not only did it vex him, you know, the way that it must have began to change him and to shape him. Yes, made that wrong decision, but to come to where he is saturated in Sodom and his family saturated in Sodom, you say, "I haven't really changed, haven't you?" Perhaps you didn't notice that you were changing over a period of time. You think about it from a matter of exercise or something physical, okay? And you think about, now we know that the power to do things is not in the flesh, okay? It's by doing things in the spirit. But you think about spiritually, putting it as a parallel to working out, okay? And you train, you're lifting weights, okay? And you get conditioned lifting weights and you're strong. And then let's say you start to drop off the weights training and you leave it and you leave it and you train a little bit here and there. And then one day you go and try to pick up a massive weight and bang, you do something somewhere, strain something. You weren't in condition for it. And Lot comes under pressure later and you see what he does. And there's nothing spiritual about it. Don't think that your associations aren't affecting you. Don't think that if you in your workplace decide that these people who are ungodly, these people who have a hatred for God, these people who have foul speech, these people who love wickedness, who love darkness rather than light, that if you're going to make them your close companions and to allow yourself to be influenced by them, don't think it's not going to change you and make you something different. How many believers have been changed by their environment, by their workplace? Couldn't stand up to the pressure around them. Okay, I suppose I'll just go to the pub with them and I won't drink anything alcoholic. I'll just drink something like Coke or something like that and just be with them. Yeah, it's going to keep changing you, isn't it? It doesn't stop there. Keeps going down, down, down. Our natural tendency is downward, not upward. And those around him affecting him in this destination. Also, we see that it is a destination of danger. I won't read all of this here, but in chapter 14, we have a situation where we have one group of kings coming and attacking this area of Sodom and taking the people away captive. And in verse 11 and 12, it says, "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." He goes not only to a place of destination of depravity, but a destination of danger. Do you know that as a Christian you can go into dangerous places? You really can. And it's okay to do so if that be the will of God for you. But it is a very bad thing to go into a dangerous place outside of the will of God. Better to be in the middle of a war zone in the will of God than in a peaceful place outside of the will of God. But, you know, we can end up in very dangerous situations, not only spiritually, but physically, if we do not walk with the Lord. And we are not in the centre of God's will. Do you know something about this, though? Lot gets taken away. And I mean, this is full on. You imagine it back in that medieval time. Not medieval, but back in that time where you got people fighting with swords and this and everything like that. No Geneva Convention. Can you imagine the fear when you have an army besiege your city, come in, perhaps set things on fire, or just take you captive, your wife, your children, take all your belongings, drag you out of your house, take you off, captive somewhere, not knowing whether you're going to be killed, not knowing if you're going to be a slave the rest of your life. I mean, it's major what happens here to him. And then you see someone goes and tells Abraham, godly Abraham there, tells him what's happened. So Abraham comes with his servants, I think it's about 318, pursues this army, takes them on, beats them, and rescues Lot out of all of that. Now, at that point in time, do you think there's Lot? Just having seen his life taken into these wicked people's hands, being on the level of a captive, of a slave, being gone from being a wealthy man to having absolutely zip, not even freedom to walk off and do whatever he wants, do you think that after that he might just sort of go, "Now I wonder, did I make a mistake somewhere? Maybe, if I just sort of talked about things with Abraham, perhaps I could have chosen a different place and we could have stayed in connection a bit." And I just wondering, maybe I made a mistake. Doesn't seem to. What does he do? He goes straight back into Sodom again. Where is your discernment? You know, that's another thing. When we walk away from the Lord, we decide we're going to live carnally, don't be surprised if your decisions don't make sense anymore. And you lose discernment. The man has lost his discernment. No alarm bells, Lot? Not figuring it out, not joining any dots? You thought this was going to be a place of blessing and prosperity. Notice what has happened. You are now a captive. You're nothing like free. You thought you had issues once with Abraham. Now look at your life. There you are, a captive in chains. Try to know when God is trying to get your attention. You know, God does that. You know, it speaks in Scripture about how the Lord loveth and chasteneth every son in whom he delighteth. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Know when God is trying to get your attention. Now, don't misunderstand. We're not saying that every trial that comes into our life, every issue that comes into our life is necessarily the chastening hand of God. But know when God is trying to get your attention. Interesting, one day I was there with, this is years ago now, probably a teenager then, I was there with Pastor Simeon and I was there with Pastor Olmsted, who's our missionary in Scotland, and we're there talking and Pastor Simeon said something good. He said, you know, you can learn from your own mistakes or you can learn from other people's mistakes. And Pastor Olmsted said, and some people just never learn. Doesn't seem to sink in. Oh, you know, I'm just going through all these trials. You're manufacturing your own trials. My mum said that once, years ago, to a young girl. Oh, you know, going through all these trials. And my mum said, so-and-so, you are a trial manufacturer. There's like, oh, I'm just having a trial at the moment, you know. Me who's done everything right and I'm having a trial. You wouldn't be a captive if you'd never gone to Sodom. You, as a believer in the one true God, went out there into Sodom, into the world. By the way, don't be surprised that the world plays by a different set of rules to Christians. You go out there, you know, you're a homeschooler, growing up in a Christian family. Praise God for that. Praise God for good, godly homeschooling. But when you go out into the world, you find out that the world don't think like Ace and Christy. They're not so virtuous, kind, gentle, loving and patient and all those things that they teach you in ACE, which is good. Okay, I was schooled in ACE for the majority of my schooling. But don't be surprised if the world doesn't think that way. Easy to go from a good base and go out and be there and be a rebel. Go from a good, godly base, think that you can take on the world and find out that their ways are very different. And they locked Lot up just like everybody else. He was in chains like everybody else. Oh, you know, I'm a Christian. Get out. Didn't necessarily happen, okay, but he wouldn't have even known the word Christian. But, you know, it didn't matter who he was. The world thinks differently. Think about the destination that you choose, the place that you are going. You know, heard Pastor, Evangelist Glenn Weeks speak about a situation where he's at some meeting somewhere, and after the meetings, I believe it was, this man came up to him and said, "Oh, I was wondering if you could pray for me about this, you know, this move I'm going to make with my family." I said, "Oh, okay, sure. Tell me about that." So I explained to him, said, "Oh, I'm going to go out to this, I think it's a bit more of a remote area." And he said, "And I can get double the income there in my work that I can where I am now. My salary would be double." I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Is there a good church out there?" "Oh, no, there wasn't." Well, he said, "I can't pray for that." And the guy got angry and he said, "Well, that's the sort of Christianity I don't like." Anyway, apparently he took the promotion, went there. I think the guy lost his marriage and don't think he even stayed on there in the employment and all out of church. Such a mess. Such a mess. Take thought for yourself. Next, let's see Lot's deviance. So we see that he was taken captive, he was set free, and he goes right back into Sodom. Now remember as well that when Abraham was there, and remember the king of Sodom offered all of his goods to Abraham? Said, "Take them all. Take all the goods and basically I'll take all the people." He got offered all that Sodom had to offer and he said no. All that Lot wanted, Abraham said no to. By the way, just another point I'd like to mention as well. You notice after that Lot left Abraham, just wanted to show this as well, back in chapter 13, verse 14, says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever." And he goes on and speaks on there. And I just wonder whether after that. It says, after that Lot left him, whether the Lord came and encouraged Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to give you all this land. There's Lot looking like he's off to a prosperous, better place, picking the best piece of land there was. The Lord comes to him after Lot left him and just explained to him, said, I'm going to give you all this. Hey God, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's the God that we serve. God's not someone who withholds good things from us. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But whatever we receive, we want to receive from his hand and his hand alone. Over to chapter 19, please. And before this chapter, the Lord speaks with Abraham. His name gets changed to Abraham at some point. And he speaks there with Abraham and he tells him, he says, shall I hide the thing from Abraham that I shall do? Something along those lines. And then explains to him what he's going to do. And there's Abraham talking to the Lord, you know, will you destroy all the city for this amount and for that amount? And the amount gets less and less and less. And the Lord wouldn't do it for those things. And then we see here the two angels head to Sodom. Chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. You know, it's a possibility here. The fact that Lot was sitting in the gate, it's a possibility that he was perhaps even an official in Sodom. Perhaps actually worked into a place of position and of authority. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. We'll just stop there for a moment. You see here, these angels coming in to the city, and they're going to destroy this city, and they've come to take Lot and his family out before they do this. And we really get a picture here, a very clear, awful picture of the wickedness of that city. And I don't care what this world says about the agenda with sodomy. I don't care what this wicked world says. I don't care that they say that it is a lifestyle. We see here that sodomy is nothing less than sin and depravity before an almighty God. It is. Oh, it's sin. Wicked, wicked, wicked. We see that this whole city is enveloped with this wickedness. The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. You know, some people might say, oh, how could a loving God drop fire and brimstone on a city and kill all these people? How could God have the Israelites to go through and wipe out entire groups of people? You know, the utter wickedness, the utter depravity that man sinks to. We get a window in here that God wasn't slaughtering people who were walking with him, loving him, people who are living pure and holy lives, but we see very depraved people. We say, well, oh, but, you know, were they that bad? Well, you see what they, you know what they were trying to do here. And what even pushes it further, just to show you how evil it is, they get smote with blindness. Now, can you imagine being smote with blindness? To have your eyesight taken away and for everything to be pitch black. Wouldn't that be a time for repentance? Wouldn't that be something that would drop you to your knees? Wouldn't that not be something that shatters you and breaks you? They wearied themselves to find the door. Man's being, man's nature is that of depravity, going down, 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 down. And God said, as far as these cities at this plane was, this is enough. The wickedness that is so great here, this is enough. I will not have this anymore. I will not tolerate the wickedness of these cities. And he brings judgment upon these cities. You know, the wickedness, the utter wickedness of this city had rubbed off onto Lot. A righteous man. A man one day we will see in heaven. A man one day we will fellowship with. And we see his depraved directive. You say, what these men were going to do was absolutely wicked, and it was. But what Lot suggests straight afterwards is so wicked as well. Perhaps almost equally as wicked, to offer up his daughters to these vile, depraved, evil people. I mean, if he had come out and said, and just simply said, my brethren, do not so wickedly, we would still say, Lot, you know, where's your backbone? Lot, where is your, you know, where is your walk with God? Where is the spiritual power in your life that you might actually not be pleading with these people, but actually telling these people how it is? What's it say in Scripture? The wicked, the righteous falling down the before the wicked is as a troubled fountain, a corrupt spring, something like that. And he says, my brethren, do not so wickedly. And then offers them, you know, you say, how could any father do this? What father would do that? Wouldn't Lot stay there and fight to the death before they would ever lay a finger on his daughters? But you know, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing, but something we should face tonight. So you know that you and I, apart from the grace of God, are capable of terrible things. Not nice to have to think about. Perhaps not something we like to admit, but you know, apart from the grace of God, we're going to live carnally. We're going to follow our own simple heart's lust, although we be redeemed, although we be washed in the blood of Christ. Capable of terrible things. I'm sure probably pretty well anyone in this room could talk of a believer or believers who ended up in a terrible place because they simply followed their sinful bent and did what you would say, how could they ever, ever, ever have done that? But yet they did. You could speak of Sunday school teachers, missionaries, church members, pastors, tragic, people you looked up to, people you respected, people, personal friends, and have done what you would have never ever thought they would do. You know, we're made of the same stuff as Lot is made of. Face that, say, oh Lord, keep me from myself. Oh, the Christ life for the self life. Oh, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, it's, we must walk with the Lord. We really must. Because we are capable of terrible, terrible things. So we see his depraved directive. Also, we see his destitute directive, verses 12 to 14. And the men said unto Lot, by the way, just in this matter here where he says, do not so wickedly, and you see how these men respond. You know, get between sinful man and his depraved lust, and just you watch how angry they get and how politically incorrect they get. and how violent they get and how unloving they get and how judgmental they get when you stand up for what is right. You know, when Pastor Simeon put together that pamphlet for the marriage, about the marriage distortion that people were proposing, and letterboxed that, some of the phone calls he got, and even one man, the vile threat that he gave him over the phone. Oh, hang on, where's all the tolerance? Where's the love? Why this hate speech? Oh, no. His destitute directive, verses 12 to 14. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou, this is the agent, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know, Lot's words meant nothing to them. Oh, now look, perhaps even if he was a man who was on fire for the Lord, perhaps they wouldn't have listened either. But, his destitute directive, you know, he's lost it. There's your silly religious dad going off the handle again. They didn't take him seriously. Can I just say that to win people, to pull people out of the mess, you don't do it by joining them. We as Christians shouldn't go and throw ourselves into the mud pits to try to help people out of the mud pits. You don't jump into quicksand to pull people out of quicksand. You stay on the solid rock yourself to help others. There's a compromised life there in Sodom. What credibility would he have before those men, and perhaps even them knowing that he just offered up his daughters? We also see his deliberations, 15 to 23. And when thy morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You know, they're trying to get him out of here, and now it's coming to come into the morning time, and he's still there. And while he lingered, again, the matter of discernment. Here you are warning your sons-in-law that they need to run, and you won't run yourself. Don't be surprised that people who are compromised don't make sense. Start talking out both sides of their mouth, saying this thing, then that thing, then that way, and all over the shop. I don't know if you've perhaps even spoken to a believer who's perhaps not been walking with the Lord for years and not been in church, and some of the things that they will say. So unbiblical. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You know, God was so merciful to Lot. I mean, how many people would have said, you know, oh, Lot's blown it, just nuke the city and leave him there? No, God was merciful. So he lingers, and so they have to take him by the hand and take him out. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. This is amazing stuff. Serious stuff. Fire and brimstone about to descend. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lords. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. There's fire and brimstone about to fall. Run! Oh, something might hurt me up there. The guy's lost it. So his deliberations, he says, behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. So there you go. You know, Lot there is deliberating, not moving. Oh, such a miss. Won't move, you know, just waiting and, you know, wants to go here and not really run away. And, oh, crazy. Where is the man's discernment? If we live carnally, don't be surprised if we lose discernment as well. Instead, make crazy decisions. Next, let's see Lot's deliverance. Lot's deliverance, verse 16 and verses 24 to 29. We read verse 16 before. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. You know, the absolute forbearance of God with us. How often does God suffer along with us? How often is God forbearant with us, with our failings, with our foolishness? We say the Lord being merciful unto him. There he is, a compromised man, very sinful man, not walking with the Lord, a carnal man, and yet God merciful still to him. Oh, the mercy of God. And also verses 24 to 29. Then the Lord, verse 23 of chapter 19, we'll read from verse 21. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Just amazing, just picture it. There, Lot is saying, I don't want to go to the mountain, I want to go here. And the angel says, okay, go and escape there. He says, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Isn't that amazing, the forbearance of God? That God actually waited for Lot. Go, okay, we're waiting for you, Lot. Go to that city, waiting for you. God actually withheld fire and brimstone while he waited for Lot. God's very forbearant with us. And when God is trying to get a hold of us, God's trying to speak to us, God's very forbearant with us, how we ought to respond to him. The mercy of God. Psalm 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You know, even when we can see God's wrath in this passage and God's judgment, we see God's mercy. God is a merciful God. And you know that even, take this bit of application, you know that God withholds his judgment so people can get saved. And if there be any here that don't know Christ, do not know Christ this evening, God's merciful in holding back his judgment. The end times when the day of the Lord is going to come in. He wants people to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So we see that God is merciful unto him. Also we see his deliverance not only through the mercy of God, but also through the memory of God. Reading from verse 24 to 29. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. You know, some people would find it difficult to believe that God would do this. But, you know, this is what the scriptures teach, and I believe it, and we should believe it. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. You know, you can go to this area, same area today. I've spoken to Brother Andrew Lewis, and he said the sulfur balls are real. Yeah, this really happened. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. You know, his wife that turned and looked back when she was commanded not to. Perhaps this is indicative that really that Sodom was in her. Perhaps indicative that that was where her heart really was. And that Lot had taken his wife into Sodom, and Sodom had gotten a hold of her. And he lost her. It says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And catch this here, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. We see that God actually spared Lot on account of Abraham, on account of his love for Abraham. Just amazing, really, that it says God remembered Abraham. And that's why Lot received mercy, and why God protected him was because of Abraham. And Lot went up out of Zoar. Sorry, verse 29. It says, deliverance through the memory of God. Next, we also see Lot's demise. Reading from verse 30, it says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So Lot's demise, we see his demise through his daughters. There he is in the cave. Okay, he finally gets it. He was too afraid to go to the mountain, and then he goes, oh, hang on. This isn't a good place to be, and now I'll go to the mountain. And we see this plan that his daughters hatch. Remember, our choices don't just affect us. His girls are out of Sodom, but I tell you what, Sodom is in his girls. Perhaps a little trick that they learnt when they were in Sodom. The whole vileness of that city permeating into them. They were still with their father, but they were in a terrible place spiritually. The loss there, the demise through his daughters. We see his demise through drunkenness from verse 33 to 35. This is how they made their father drink wine. It's pretty tragic. In spite of all that had happened, in spite of them losing everything, somehow they found wine somewhere. They got hold of it somehow. Got hold of something wicked. Why shouldn't Christians drink? Read this passage. You'll get an insight on what alcohol does. Read about Nabal and see another poster boy for your alcohol. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbour drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and makes him drunken also, that they must look on their nakedness. Habakkuk 2:15. Christians ought to have nothing whatsoever to do with alcohol. Don't touch the stuff. Don't be around the stuff. Have nothing whatsoever to do with it. Read there in Proverbs 23, I believe, and the effects of alcoholic wine and what it does to a person. And why is it that Christians need this stuff? They don't need it, but why is it they're after it? Why can't they leave it alone? Well, I'll tell you one thing I do know. I know that Christians who leave it, in case of Christians who leave it, no one right now who gave up his alcohol, and oh wow, he is so blessed. So blessed to turn his alcohol bottles upside down, his wine bottles, and to leave it behind him, and has just blessed him and blessed his marriage. You don't get blessings from going to the bottle, you get blessings from going away from it. Stay away from it, don't touch it. Don't be around it. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous, ease the flesh of the drunkard, and the gluttonous shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Don't even be around it. You know, you'll get in trouble for that as well. Why can't you come to the work party? Because there's alcohol there. Why can't you come to the Christmas family Christmas party because there's alcohol there. Make a stand on alcohol. Don't need it, shouldn't have any desire for it. Also, we see his demise through depravity. They make him drink wine, and we see that Lot unwittingly goes into incest. See that vile immorality can flow out of drunkenness. No Christian should touch it. Loosen up your morals, makes you do wicked things. And here is where the narrative of Lot ends, in a cave with drunkenness and incest. What a loss. What did Lot not lose? He lost all of his wealth. He lost his wife, his daughters. You say, well, basically he lost them, even though they were still alive. He lost his purity, lost his testimony. Just lost his morals. Who would have ever dreamt that this would happen to a righteous man? That's what the Bible calls him. How could this happen to a man who was so close into the leadings and guidings of the Almighty Jehovah God? I mean, Abraham, the friend of God, to have Abraham as his friend. How did he get there? When we go back and we look, Lot was living carnally. Lot had a desire without discernment. Lot made a decision based on material prosperity rather than spiritual prosperity. Lot didn't look out for his own spiritual well-being or the spiritual well-being of his family. Lot chose the wrong direction. Only time revealed where he would end up. Lot chose a wicked place to live in. His associations with sodomites were of no help to him or his family. Lot should have had a rethink when he became a captive, but he didn't. Lot sinks lower as he soaks in Sodom, offering up his daughters there. And Lot's final demise is seen in a cave with his daughters scheming, drunkenness and depravity. So if we were to look at the life of Lot, we could simply say, Lot lost the plot and lost the lot. Lot lost the plot and lost the lot. Look at his failings, but it's important to remember that we could suffer the same sorts of losses that Lot could. We are subject to the same failings as Lot. We all know of believers who have failed in the Christian life. We could stand before the Lord one day, saved, but having lost many rewards and having dishonoured our Lord. But be encouraged, praise God, we don't have to fail of the grace of God, we don't have to lose out spiritually like Lot did. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. So where from here? Where do we go from here? Learning about this life of Lot, perhaps having a re-evaluation of our own selves. What decisions have I made which have taken me to a different place? What decisions am I about to make, or could I possibly make, or thinking of making, which may bring me to a spiritual demise? And, you know what? We don't have to go down this pathway. We don't have to have a wasted life, be saved, stand before the Lord, but have wasted our life, dishonoured our Lord. Have a re-evaluation. Lord, where am I at with you? Lord, am I walking with you? Lord, am I walking with you in obedience? Lord, am I making decisions that I ought not to? You know, people, they do crazy things. You might often think of the temptations there are for young people, but you know, even older people do crazy things. They do. Go off on some silly doctrinal tangent in their old age. Leave their faithful spouse that they've been with for years and years. Go and do something crazy. So important that we walk with the Lord on a daily basis, to know his life living through us, to trust the life of Christ to live through us. You young people, sometimes perhaps there's a temptation for you, thinking there's a better way to live. That there's another life out there which is outside the confines of the Word of God, and you say, I think that that would be better for me. I know in my heart somehow it's not right, but I think it's going to be good somehow. I think somehow it'll be better for me. I think somehow it'll give me greater joy. Somehow I think that I'll be more at peace, more free. But lots of living testimony that doesn't pay to live in the flesh. John Butler, in his biography there of the life of Lot, says, Lot, the worldly Christian. Don't fall that way. Let me encourage you tonight. Too emotional here, okay, but I love the young adults and the young people here in this church. Just place your hands, place yourself in the hands of Christ. Let him mould you and shape you for better things. He's got much better for you than the trash that is out there. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you are faithful. That by your grace, Lord, we're able. Pray, Father, for your protection upon the young people of this church. Lord, you know they're up against it, living in Sodom. Lord, the things that they struggle with, their temptations, their battles. Show yourself strong to them, Father, I do pray. Pray for the older saints too, Lord. Don't let them do something silly in their old age, but help them to stand before their Lord and to hear the words of the Almighty God say, faithful is he which calleth you, who also will do it. Keep us all, Lord God, by your grace. Help us to be faithful until you come, Lord Jesus. Help us to live, Lord God, just in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, I know that in my own heart and in my own flesh, Lord, I know it's not possible to live the Christian life. But thank you, it is possible by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.